This is the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo, Episode 4.
Of course, our first option is to try and wholesale it because that's just how our system is set up. But if we can't wholesale it, we always close it, and then we renovate it and sell it. And some of the deals we actually keep as rental properties too, like the deals that we did with you. The two of the deals we bought from you are both, we knew those going in would be rental properties.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Hey, my friend, it's Alex Pardo. I want to welcome you back to another Flip Empire Show, and I'm excited about our guest today. I got a couple of good buddies here who are fellow wholesalers, rehabbers, and just absolute rock stars when it comes to real estate investing. I got my buddy Gene Schroeder and Angelo D'Alessandro from Bank On It and ThoseFlippingGuys.com. So, Gene, Angelo, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, very perfect.
Awesome.
How's it going?
Hey, really, really appreciate your guys' time. I'm excited because I know one of the things we're going to get into here on the call is an actual case study of a property that we picked up as a wholesale and we ended up selling to you guys, and you guys featured it on your show, which you recently launched at Those Flipping Guys. So I'm excited about it because I want to pick your guys' brains. I want you to reveal the goods here. And I also want to, you know, peel back the onion, so to speak, on that particular wholesale property that you picked up from us.
Great. Yeah, this has a lot of layers to it, so it's good.
Fantastic. Well, yeah, I mean, guys, why don't you start, whoever wants to kind of take over from here, if you guys can give us a little bit of background. I know just to give, you know, if you're listening in, you know, just to give you a little bit of background, between Gene and Angelo, actually, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys, you guys have bought and sold well over 1,000 properties going back to 1997. And like I mentioned at the intro, I mean, you guys have done it all from wholesaling to rehabbing. I mean, any kind of deal out there, you guys have pretty much done it. If you guys just want to give a brief background, anything I didn't cover, you know, how you got started in this business, and then let us know where you're at today.
Yeah, well, we've been in the business for even before we were business partners, which we became business partners in 2002 and opened a bank on in 2003. But we've probably done over 3,000 deals in our lifetime. And wow. Keep in mind that each deal is many times two deals because there's a buy and a sell to each deal. So we're pretty well versed. We've been primarily in the Florida markets, Dade, Broward, Palm Beach County. We've also done business in the other, you know, major areas of Florida, Orlando, Tampa, Jacksonville, we really like. We've also done the West Coast, Fort Myers, Port Charlotte. And now we're excited because we're doing stuff up in Georgia and North Carolina also. So it's pretty exciting because it's the same principle of buy something cheap and sell it for more expensive wherever you go. So it's fun.
Awesome. Awesome. And Angela, you want to jump in, man? How did you guys end up becoming business partners?
We were working together at a firm and we ended up splitting off and becoming business partners. But that's something that we take for granted. But if you think about it, especially in South Florida where we are, you know, we've been business partners since 2002. That's a long time.
And
I think it's a testament to how awesome I am.
Yeah. I'm not that easy to get along with in the long term.
I was just going to ask, who deserves the award for dealing with the other person?
It's a good testament to kind of how we put our relationship before business and money and really every relationship before money. So money is not our motivator. And we've been able to make a long-term business with that philosophy.
That's fantastic. Well, listen, I don't want to get too off topic here, but along the lines of partnerships, because I know that that's kind of a controversial topic and a lot of people have definitely experienced their lumps when it comes to, failed business relationships and partnerships. I guess you just touched on it, but would you say that's the main reason you guys have been so successful as business partners is that you've put your personal relationship ahead of money and ahead of business? Or what's kind of the one thing that you would say, anybody out there listening would need if they're either in a partnership or considering getting into a business partnership?
You know, it's funny. Right when we started our business, we said that we were never going to make any decisions based on any of the seven deadly sins. And anytime we try to make a decision, which we're human. That happens. You know, you get vengeful. You want to get someone back. I mean, you want to
greed.
You want to win, you know, all those things. And then when you really boil it down and you check yourself, why am I making this decision? And if it has to do with any of those seven things, as hard as that is, Gene and I usually acquiesce.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that. I know, hopefully that kind of resonates with someone out there listening that's either in a partnership that's not working or considering getting into one. So, yeah, I'd love to get kind of into the meat of it now. Kind of a two-part question for you guys, and whoever wants to take this one, go for it. But what's working for you in today's market? And I know in South Florida, we're in a pretty competitive market here, but what's working for you? And this could be, you know, it could be a strategy, a technique, or it could be just overall business development. And then the second part to that is when it comes to marketing, you know, I'm a big student of marketing. I think everybody out there, that needs to be a big focus of theirs, understanding how to generate leads. What's working for you when it comes to marketing? I know you guys have a lot of different, you know, poles out there in the water. So I want you guys to reveal the goods here and not hold back.
Okay. Well, I think, you know, especially for new investors, I think one of the most important things that a new investor needs to do is know what they can sell. And because that's what keeps people back from actually pulling the triggers. They don't necessarily know what they can sell. Things are easier for us because, you know, we've got a database of over 7,000 cash buyers, at least people that have raised their hand and said they're a cash buyer. We have a team of real estate agents that work hand in hand with their own database of customers. And so when we get an opportunity, in addition to our experience of moving these deals in the past, we're able to know, well, this deal would be perfect for this particular buyer, or this buyer bought this deal, so I think he'd be or she'd be interested in buying that. So building up a stable of real cash buyers is very important. And as far as where do we get the deals, you know, our goal is we try to buy about 15 properties a month. We'd actually like to buy more of those, but you know, every deal we put under contract, we're not just like, you know, some wholesalers that just tie them up, and if they can't quickly flip them during their inspection period, they bail, and then they end up burning bridges and relationships here and there and everywhere. We pretty much, anything we put under contract, as you know, because we've done deals with you, is we have intent to close. Of course, our first option is to try and wholesale it, because that's just how our system is set up. But if we can't wholesale it, we always close it, and then we renovate it and sell it. And some of the deals we actually keep as rental properties too, like the deals that we did with you. The two of the deals we bought from you are both, we knew those going in would be rental properties.
Right.
So that, you know, that's really important. And so as far as finding deals, you name it. I mean, we buy deals, you know, even though you know Guru will tell you that there's deals on the MLS, but we buy deals right off the MLS.
Yeah.
We buy auction pieces. We do postcards. We do mailers. We spend a lot of money on Google advertising. So you name it, you know, we're out there doing it. We have our own investor club that people bring us deals. We have our agents that are out there finding deals that are at other investor clubs, meeting other wholesalers or investors that are new. So you name it, and we do it. You know,
And Alex, what's important, I think, in terms of marketing is it all works. You know, postcards work, internet marketing works, signs work, going to investor club meetings work. The problem where most people fall short, and not even just in real estate investing, is consistency. It's something that you have to do day in and day out, month in and month out. There's really no time to take off in marketing. And unfortunately, people will market, get a deal, and then they'd have to pick up and start marketing again. Whereas, you know, it's a 30, 60, 90 day process. 30 days to market, and the 60, you know, in the 30 to 60 days you get the property, and the 90th day you close it. And this, in a marketing standpoint, so you got to be consistently doing whatever it is that you do.
You guys are right on point, and I want to piggyback on a few things, something that Gene said, and then I want to follow up with what you just said. But yeah, I mean, kind of going back to Gene's point, I mean, I think one of the mistakes I'm seeing a lot of investors and wholesalers out, not only in our market, but just across the country, is, you know, people will go out and they'll send offers, which is great because they're taking action. You know, you can't tie up properties unless you send offers. But then eventually they develop a relationship for being somebody that's not going to close. And so, you know, Gene, to your point, they end up burning bridges with agents off of the MLS. It doesn't so much affect them with private sellers, because usually, you know, our clients are the cash buyers. Those are the ones that we're doing multiple deals with. Whereas a seller, you know, you might have a couple of properties that you buy from them. And that's actually going to be an interesting segue into the case study. But you definitely want to be careful. You know, if you're listening, you want to send out offers, you want to be aggressive, but you want to know, you know, you want to know your market, you want to know what you're offering, and you want to, if you're going to wholesale it, you got to be pretty confident that, you know, you have cash buyers or you have other wholesalers that you can work with to make sure that you can move that property. And then Angelo, I think you hit the nail on the head, man, because marketing, it's about following up and it's about being consistent. And one of the things that we like to do in our business is we'll take 20% of the profits of every deal we get and we'll throw that into our marketing budget, so that we never kind of turn off that faucet, because that's really what's going to feed your business and what's going to kind of allow you to scale eventually. So I thank you guys for talking about both those things, because I think you hit the nail on the head there. Leading into this case study, I want to kind of set the table. You know, we sent out an absentee and owner-occupied campaign with Equity. I think this was back in June or July of 2015. And as a result of that campaign, we picked up three deals, one of which we ended up wholesaling to Gene and Angelo. And just to give you guys a little bit of background here as to the campaign, because I want you to take, this is one of those things that you should be writing down. One of the things that we do, and maybe Angelo, Gene, you guys can speak to this. One of the things we do is most people are out there and they're mailing the absentees. What we try to do is we try to zig when other people are zagging. And so we're always constantly thinking about what filters we can add to our list so that we're hitting and we're fishing in a pond where not that many people are going. This particular campaign yielded us three deals. And a couple of the filters that we used is we looked for people or homeowners that owned two or more properties. And then the second thing was we only targeted homeowners that were 55 plus years of age. And as a result, we came across this gentleman, kind of a sad story. He's got cancer and he's looking to liquidate so he can pay off some debt. We ended up closing on one property in Hollywood, made a profit of just under $18,000. And then right when we closed on that one, he said, "Hey, Alex, I didn't tell you about this, but I actually have a duplex in Pembroke Park, Florida that, I haven't been able to sell. And you know, you guys closed on this one. So why don't you take a look at it?" Long story short, you know, our acquisitions guy went out there. We ended up getting the property under contract. We emailed it out. And then at this point, Gene, Angelo, I kind of want you to take over, because I want to hear from your perspective. You know, Gene, I think you had mentioned that right when you saw that property, you knew it was going to be part of your rental portfolio. What was it about the deal? How did you analyze the property, figure out that that's one that you wanted to keep and not wholesale? And then if you can kind of get into the nitty gritty, you know, what were some of the challenges? I know there was tenants that you guys had to get out. It was a full rehab. And it's the one that you ended up featuring on Those Flipping Guys, I think, on episode 2. So yeah, if you guys can kind of take it away and take it from the point where you bought it from me and then what you decided to do going forward.
Yeah, well, I mean, we knew that there was an opportunity there. We know that duplexes in South Florida, I mean, they're selling for, you know, $75,000 to $100,000 per unit. And, you know, depending upon the neighborhood and the demographics and so forth. So we knew right off the bat that there were some opportunities. Andrew and I always have a goal of, you know, getting our portfolio up to a certain amount of units. And we've been growing that. But even when we saw that, we did try to wholesale it. We just couldn't find anybody to pay more than, where we were wanting to. I think we were trying to juice it for a good profit, not just, you know, make a couple dollars on it, because we actually liked the property and we said, well, you know, well, if we get a good amount, we'll sell it. But if not, we'll just go ahead and keep it. The tenants were in there. You know, the landlord, the guy, you know, it was a sad situation, but man, he was, you know, he probably wasn't the most kind-hearted person either at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And, you know, he let people live in really bad shape. And they were nice people, but they were just not people that didn't have a lot of money. And, you know, we knew that we were going to go in there and improve the rents, and if we couldn't sell it, and hold on to it. So we knew it needed a roof right off the bat. The tenants were only paying, like $700 per month. We went in there, we put in new floors, new kitchen, new impact windows, new central ACs, a new roof. We did a lot of stuff to it, and we actually are getting $1,200 per unit now.
Awesome.
Per side. So, you know, that's, $1,000 more per month. And we use a formula of a 1% rule that, you know, for the rent should be at the very minimum 1% of the purchase price of the property.
Okay.
So therefore, by raising it $1,000, by raising the rent $1,000, in our estimates, we actually raised the value of the property by $100,000.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I get it.
You know.
So, for example, if you buy a property at $100,000, you need the rent to at least be $1,000.
That's correct. Yeah, that'll kind of give you like a 7%. You know, and these are rough estimates. But when you look through as many properties as we all do, you need a kind of a basic formula to kind of to evaluate things. So we use the 1% formula. Of course, we don't want to buy at 1%. We want to buy at, you know, 1.5 to 2%, or of course as much as possible. And then you can turn around and sell it with the 1% rule. But that's kind of how we look at it. So we liked it. We knew the area. We knew it wasn't a war zone, and we just felt that there was a real upside. And one of the other things that we really liked about the property is that it had separate water meters and separate electric meters. When you buy duplexes, sometimes you get stuck paying the for the water for the whole place. Mm-hmm. And of course, tenants don't really necessarily care about you, what you're making. They almost sometimes begrudge you for making money. And so they don't really, you know, run a car wash at your place.
Yeah, right.
So these here, the tenants pay for their own water and electric, which actually is a real bonus in this situation.
Obviously you guys have bought thousands of properties. Were there any lessons learned on this particular deal? Anything that, you know, knowing what you know now, you'd either implement or you'd do something different moving forward? Was there anything that kind of caught you off guard on this one?
Yes. This is the first time we've ever gotten busted for doing work without a permit.
Really?
Yeah. So we got busted because of, get this, we didn't get the paint colors approved.
You're kidding.
Yes, there's a paint color scheme in Perry Park, Florida.
Unreal.
And we threw some windows in without a permit. And so they brought the book down on us on this one.
Yeah. Got it. So how did you overcome that? I mean, what was the process you had to go through here?
We just kept writing checks.
Yeah.
Usually that solves the problem, fees. Right?
Yeah, double permit fees, inspections. Now, the problem with Pembroke Park is they're so small that they actually hire out inspectors. So, you know, what would take normally a week in another city to get done, it ended up taking about 3 or 4 weeks because we had to keep scheduling inspections. But it worked out.
Yeah, and the reality is all the work had been done so we could rent it out. But, listen, when it comes to doing roofs and windows and, you know, definitely things on the exterior, you should, you know, we knew better. But
we did the roof with a permit, obviously, but we just threw the windows in because, you know, now we have the nicest duplex in all of Perry Park, but we're happy to have it.
Yeah. Got it. You guys have any tips or advice for people that are out there that, you know, and one of the things I love before I get to the question is I love your model, how, you know, your first aim is to wholesale the property, but if for whatever reason you can't wholesale it, you guys are going to close. And that, you know, that to kind of come full circle with Gene, what you had mentioned at the beginning of the call is making sure that, you know, you develop a reputation as people that are going to close. Obviously you guys have your rehab crew in place. You know, anybody that might be listening that's either getting into rehabbing or hasn't found the right crew and they've had a lot of turnover in that department, any advice that you kind of give them to make sure that you connect with people that, you know are going to treat you fair on price, are going to actually do what they say they're going to do and, you know, not bail on a job halfway through?
Well, I mean, you first and foremost, you got to educate yourself on what things cost. Because if somebody comes in and tells you they're going to do a job and they're charging like way too much, you need to be on guard. On the flip side, if somebody comes in and tells you they're going to do a job and they're charging way too little, you also need to be on guard. Mm-hmm. So you kind of, you know, the first and foremost, you got to know what things cost. You got to be privy to, you know, just the basic cost of roof and floors and painting and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And if you don't, then you're kind of you're definitely fighting a battle disarmed, you know?
Right. Awesome. So, I mean, have you come up with a system in your business where it's, whether it's an Excel spreadsheet or a simple template that basically says, you know, price per square foot on tile, we want to stay within this range, for example. Paint, this is typically what we want to pay. Have you guys documented it to that degree, or do you just kind of know and that's how you operate?
Both. I mean, we have it written down for our new people to use. But I mean, at this point, it's second nature to Gene and I. We right. know what things should cost.
Yeah. I mean, even the cleanest house ends up being a, you know, many times a $20,000 rehab, and then a messy house, you know, depending upon if you're doing a roof or not, is 30 to 40,000, you know, unless it's a lot of square foot. That's down here, right. You know? So we kind of have that down and, and it takes time, and you go through contractors, and contractors at first, they'll be, you know, the first deal you do, they'll be really good, and the next one, they stop showing up or they start charging you more. So you constantly need to be, you know, putting new people in and looking for new people. And, you know, sometimes it's better just to GC these deals yourself, especially in the beginning. Mm-hmm. I mean, that way, you know, what stuff costs at Home Depot. You shop for the best price on the painter and the contract or the plumbing or electrical. And you get to know that you shop for roofs. You ask other investors if they'll share. A lot of investors won't want to share their people. So there is a little bit of understanding, but having a mentor, you know, that says, listen, that's too much. This should be the range for you. That really helps out quite a bit.
That's a perfect segue. I mean, one of the things I wanted to ask you guys is, I mean, I know from personal experience, I mean, when I got started in 2005, you know, I was doing this kind of banging my head. And while I was doing some deals and making some money, I was also losing a lot of money. And at the end of the day, you don't know what you don't know. And it took me about 2 years until I actually got my first mentor that I paid a lot of money to. And had I done that right out of the gate, I can't tell you how much money I would have saved, how much aggravation I would have avoided. At what point, you know, do you recommend getting a coach or a mentor, whether it's somebody that's just getting started or even somebody that is a seasoned vet and they've closed hundreds of deals? I mean, you know, I'm always constantly looking for a coach and a mentor. I mean, I have a life coach. I have a business coach. What are your guys' thoughts on, you know, at what point somebody should actually pony up, make an investment in themselves and get a coach or a mentor?
Immediately, because it's funny, when you're brand new in the business, it's invaluable. I mean, we all believe in putting our kids in, you know, good schools and getting them into college. And, you know, you get them specialty coaches for, you know, whatever sport they're trying to do. So coaching is super important, especially when you're breaking in, because it's going to cost, you're going to make more money. You're going to lose more in mistakes than you will costing by paying an experienced mentor, as long as you choose well. But it's funny, because I don't like watching golf, but I was at a party and somehow they put golf on, and one of the golfers who's been on the circuit for like 20 years, they start breaking up his swing, and they're like, he just got a new coach and his swing is so much better now. That's a professional golfer that makes, you know, several million dollars a year,
yeah,
you know, winning tournaments, and he just got a new coach that taught him how to re-swing a golf club. You know, this guy knows how to swing a golf club, and he got a coach to teach him how to swing the golf club again. I was like,
I hear you.
It's actually helping him, and it's just amazing, you know?
Hey, Alex, remember the last time you went to a party and you watched golf?
No, I don't. I think those are the kinds of parties that Gene usually attends.
Yeah. Good point.
Good point. That's what I love about talking to you guys is one of you guys are always throwing the other under the bus, which is awesome. That's fantastic. Well, hey guys, listen, I just want to wrap up before we put a bow on the conversation here. There's just a couple more questions I have for you. What's the one key thing or the one takeaway you would tell us about running a successful real estate business? And then, you know, one of the things that we strive to do here on the Flip Empire Show is rather than just give out valuable content, I want to make sure that we're ending the call with what's the one or two things that whoever's listening in right now can go ahead and implement. They can take it and they can implement it in their business so that it could have the biggest impact on their success, whether it be in making more money, whether it be in just automating their business so that they have more freedom and more time with their family, they want to travel, whatever it might be. What's that one thing you'd tell us about running a successful business and the one thing that you would advise, you know, our friends out there listening, what can they do in their business to get to that next level?
Well, the one thing is even if they're new in the business, from day one, they should think about longevity, their reputation, the relationships that they build. And, you know, because the first year, I mean, they're just learning, you know, they're just going to learn. And they need to think about longevity of how they're going to do in years 2, 3, 4, 5, and forever. And the relationships that they build in those timeframes, because, you know, you could get an offer, commit to somebody, and then 2 minutes later, get an offer for $2,000 more. And this is when you're struggling. But if you had already made that commitment to take their offer, you don't blow them out.
That's right.
You may offer them to split the upside to the new buyer, but you just don't blow them out. You know, so you have to really build your relationship and build your reputation from the onset.
Yeah, you can't be small-minded. You definitely have to think of the bigger picture.
That's right. Because you'll end up making, instead of, you know, sure, you made an extra $2,000, but the guy's never going to talk to you again. Or you could have made you know, several hundred thousand dollars with that one good customer.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you say that, because even today, guys that have been around for a while, I still see some people thinking of the short term, thinking of the dollars as opposed to the long term relationship. And it's one of those things, like I have a rule, if, you know, in business, if you screw me once, you know, that's on you, but you screw me twice, then that's on me. And so I kind of have like a one strike rule when, you know, when I see people just not operating with the same type of integrity that I like to work with guys like you on, you know, it's one of those things that just be careful, because those are the types of people that are just not thinking long term. And eventually those people, I think, will just fizzle out. They don't last in this business, and really in any business. You know, I think you have to have integrity. You have to operate. I'm big on being transparent, as I know you guys are. And so I'm glad that you said that, because, you know, I think it could help people avoid falling into that trap of just trying to make as much money as possible, even at the expense of somebody else.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, it's hard to say money isn't everything when you really need to make it, but yep. It really isn't everything.
Yeah, no, I hear you 100%. So awesome, guys. Listen, before we wrap up, you know, you guys have been very generous with your time. I really appreciate the content here and just kind of opening up for us. How can my audience help you? How can we reach out to you and kind of find out more about what you guys have going on?
Well, great. Well, if you're in the Florida market for real estate, for wholesale deals or income properties, or even North Carolina, and we're breaking into Georgia, you definitely want to get on our email list at bankonit.com. Just like it sounds, bank on it. You can bank on us, bankonit.com. And if you're looking to get into mentoring, even nationwide, we're opening up, we have our new business, Those Flipping Guys, and we'll teach you soup to nuts, everyday mentoring, coaching, to really get you started moving on the business. You know, we have one student up in New Jersey, you know, been messing around with real estate investing for 2 years, has read books, has done this, that, and the other. And in 3 months, he's had so much success just by us kind of walking him through the different situations that he's like, oh my God, had I started this a long time ago, I'd be so much farther advanced. And the guy's already bought like 5 houses in the first 3 months that he's working with us. He's got some rehabs. It's just amazing. And, you know, he really feels that it's a lot of it's owed to one. He's a good salesperson. He's open to listening. He's got guts. He had a little bit of money behind him. But he ultimately gives us the credit, because, without it, he'd still be on the sidelines scared to do a deal.
Yep, definitely.
And then lastly, go to YouTube and type in Those Flipping Guys and watch this, see this property that we've been talking about on our episode. It's actually on episode 1 and 2.
Oh, yeah. Cool, man. Actually, I got to catch episode 1, but yeah, guys, I saw when you posted on Facebook. So that property that I wholesaled, or I should say that we wholesaled to Gene and Angelo in Pembroke Park, that duplex, you can check it out, thoseflippingguys.com. It's episode 1 and 2. And yeah, I mean, I know Gene and Angelo personally. I've known them for years. We've done some deals together, and they're the real deal. They really know their stuff. So thank you, guys. Hey, really, again, I appreciate the time. I know we'll be in contact, and I look forward to the next deal we can work on together.
Well, Alex, you did a great job, man. Good luck on this new endeavor. I hope you get 1 million subscribers in the first couple months.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. And guys, just so you know, all the show notes, the transcriptions are going to be on the go to flipempire.com. And then any resources that we've mentioned are also going to be in the show notes. And you could also check it out at flipempire.com/resources. So I'll catch you guys in the next one. Take care, fellas.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076. Or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.